Wow, the Titans have signed wide receiver Calvin Ridley. What does this mean for the offense? What a shocker this one was. This is the Music City Audible. We're going to break it all down now. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible podcast presented by Broadway Sports Media in partnership with 440 Sports. I'm Justin Graver. With me as always is Justin Mello, and here on our, what is this, sixth podcast of the week already, we are going to be reacting to the Titans signing wide receiver Calvin Ridley. Before we do that though, let me tell you, this episode is brought to you by Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville and Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. If you're in the area, head over and pick up your favorite beverages, or you can order from them on Uber Eats. Just search Sinkers on Uber Eats and you can have that delivered straight to your door. Justin, holy cow. I mean, we were kind of hoping this might happen. There's 32 fan bases in the league who were probably like, it'd be cool if our team signed Calvin Ridley. All the reporting leading up to this deal was that Jacksonville wanted him back badly and that the Patriots were pushing hard in the mix. They had apparently a standing offer out to him. And then there was a report that Calvin Ridley intended to sign with Jacksonville at 4:01 p.m. Eastern time, at which point the reason they were waiting to sign him is when they traded for Calvin Ridley from the Falcons, they gave up a conditional third round pick in this year's draft. If they signed him before the start of the new league year, which was about 2 hours ago, then that pick would have converted to a second rounder that they would have had to send. So they were waiting to try to sign him after the league year started so that they could only send the third round pick instead of the second round pick. But waiting may have bit them in the ass because the Titans swoop in as they were called a dark horse candidate like 20, 30 minutes before the signing was announced as somebody's lurking. That team was the Titans. Holy cow, they add a game changer, difference maker to the offense in Calvin Ridley. What a deal.
Yeah, clearly. I'm recording this from my mother-in-law's house. I'm no longer at my office. And this is the stuff we do for our listeners and our viewers because we decided to record this. Really, this is the definition of an emergency podcast. I don't have my microphone. I apologize to those. My audio might not be great, but we decided instead of waiting 6, 7, 8 hours to record this, by the time I'd get back to my office, we would just go ahead and do it now so we can get it up for our listeners, because this is a big one. It's an exciting one. I mean, I'll be honest, my initial reaction, not to be that guy, was like, wow, that's a lot of money. You know, I think I've been honest about him and talked about how I thought he was a little disappointing this year. I mentioned, I think a couple episodes ago, or now who knows how many episodes ago, that he had like 9 games, more than half the season, with under 40 receiving yards. He had his big games, one against the Titans where he absolutely shred them right to pieces. They could not cover him at all. You know, 30 years old, I think, so there's some questions there. I think
will be he's still 29. He will be 30 very soon, though.
He'll be 30 during the 2024 season then, I imagine. So I had some questions there initially, but I'm not going to focus too much on that. I am excited. I'm not going to pretend like I'm not. Brian Callahan really, really likes wide receivers, right? Like, I mean, to coach Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins in Cincinnati, it's clear he believes in having two alpha weapons on the perimeter everywhere he goes. He comes to Tennessee, he inherits DeAndre Hopkins, says that's not enough. They go out and get Calvin Ridley on this massive deal. Talking about the money, there was another report out there. This is $23 million per year. The word is that Jacksonville was right around 22, or sorry, the Patriots were right around 22, and they said the Jags were about a hair short of 20. I mean, that's a big difference from Jacksonville. But if New England was at 22, I mean, the Titans were right there and came in. Talk about swooping in. I did not expect this. I'm not going to pretend like I did. And there were national reports, for the most part, for days, they've been talking about Jacksonville and New England for him. No one really talked about Tennessee. So this is a shocker. And I'm going to quickly go against myself here. And I talked about some of the concerns. Now let's talk about some of the reasons maybe why you shouldn't be concerned.
Right.
Reception, perception, something you should check out. He was still an outstanding separator this past season. No doubt that he creates separation more than DeAndre Hopkins does. There were some other issues there in Jacksonville's offense with Trevor Lawrence battling through injuries, a bit disjointed up front because of that. And I would like to think it gives us a lot of confidence that offensive coordinator Nick Holtz signed off on this move, right? Nick Holtz was his passing game coordinator last year in Jacksonville, knows him really well. If he is the nightmare that some people worry he is, I would like to think Nick Holtz would be like, guys, I bad idea. You know what I mean? I was there last year and he's a nightmare to work with. So you would think the Titans, you know, they don't make this move without consulting Nick Holtz, who obviously signed, I mean, $92 million. You better find out as much as you can about this guy. And you only got one coach on staff that was with him last year. So that's the one you consult. Brian Callahan loves passing the ball. This is a new look Titans offense. There's no doubt about it. They believe in Will Levis. They're surrounding him with weapons. They're going to be a much pass happier offense than they've been. Oh, and you could write offensive tackle, I think, in Penn at 7 overall.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I don't know about 100%, but I think it's definitely that changes a lot about what we're talking about with the draft. But really quick, I want to go back to something you said there about Nick Holtz, because this is something I brought up. We did our free agency preview pod last week, but you know, before all this craziness started, and we talked about Calvin Ridley. I mentioned these concerns. There were some reports out there that he was, you know, not good in meetings and like sort of hard to work with and not a great locker room guy and not always 100% effort and all these weird reports that came out. And you wonder where those came from now, because the Jags were pushing hard to re-sign him, so they weren't concerned with any of that stuff. The Titans go sign him. And like you mentioned, Nick Holtz, and I said this on the preview pod last week, I said, if the Titans go sign him, I will feel fine about any and all of those concerns, because that means that Nick Holtz is giving the endorsement here. And you mentioned the contract. I want to get into that too. So it's 4 years, $92 million, $50 million guaranteed. Like you said, it comes out to an average annual value of $23 million per year. Sounds like a lot of money for a guy that I think, you know, you mentioned his reception perception profile, and but you also mentioned all those games that he was just not very productive. Can we call Calvin Ridley a wide receiver one? I think that is a little bit of a stretch, to be totally honest. I think he's an absolute high end, maybe the best wide receiver two in the NFL. So you look at this contract, $23 million for the level of player that floats right between wide receiver one, wide receiver two. Well, where does that stack up amongst all the other receiver contracts in the NFL? Obviously, the highest paid receiver right now is Tyreek Hill. Behind him, Devontae Adams. Behind him, Cooper Kupp. Behind him, A.J. Brown, who's making $25 million a year. So if you think, oh, the Titans should have just signed A.J. Brown 2 years ago to the contract he wanted, like, yeah, maybe so. But we're talking 2 years later, a much more inflated salary cap. Different regimes, sure. But I'm talking just contract comparisons, like $25 million a year 2 years ago and $23 million a year this year. It's not just $2 million less. I mean, when you account for the cap, the rising cap, like inflation here, $23 million a year 2 years ago was like $20 million a year, maybe less than that. I haven't done the exact, you know, percentage of the cap.
Yeah, if you were to look at percentage of the salary cap, it would be fairly different.
Yeah, it's not even close to like you should have just signed A.J. Brown. And like you said, different regime and whatever. Next on the list is DK Metcalf, then Stephon Diggs, then Debo Samuel, then Terry McLaurin at 23, or then Michael Pittman Jr.'s new deal, which is $23.33 million per year, then Terry McLaurin, $23.2 million per year, and then Calvin Ridley slots in at the 10th highest paid receiver now in terms of average annual value. It's also $50 million guaranteed, so we haven't got the real cap implications here yet, but I imagine that the cap hit for this season isn't going to be anywhere close to $23 million. It's probably going to be $13 to $15 million once all the guarantees and signing bonuses and everything worked out. So Calvin Ridley signs with the Titans. You mentioned his age there. I think that's the other part of this contract that's important. It's a 4-year deal for a guy who's 29. He'll turn 30 in December of this coming season. You know, he's a little bit older than I would have, you know, just guessed based on, like, it feels like he hasn't been in the league long enough to be already 30 years old.
Well, yeah, that 1 year he was suspended too, right?
But he's like a 29-year-old body, athletic, in terms of taking a pounding on the football field, because he was suspended for an entire year that he missed. So the question now is, like you said, does this lock in the Titans for a tackle at pick number 7? Because there's been all this talk, the first two picks will be wide receiver, offensive tackle. Well, now that you have DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley, do you still need to draft a receiver super early? When you look at their ages,
You can make an argument for it when you look at their ages, right? DeAndre is going to be gone in a year, so you could draft one now and have him ready to take over DeAndre Hopkins. We know how much Brian Callahan likes receivers, clearly, so I'm not saying that's something they won't consider doing, but we also got to be honest about the state of this roster. I mean, Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins versus Andre Dillard and Dylan Raiden's at tackle right now, like, there's a really clear spot of weakness, and I believe they're going to sign a tackle still at some point, but the difference is stark, right? And there's probably nothing they can do in free agency at tackle that's going to even up the difference, right? Like, they've got way better receivers than they have tackles. I still think you could draft a receiver at 38, potentially, and have him step in for DeAndre Hopkins in a year. But I think with all this money tied up at receiver right now, and what you've, I mean, you can let DeAndre Hopkins walk in a year and maybe sign T. Higgins, right? Right. If he becomes available in a year, and have him replace T-Hop, right? So we'll get to the draft implications when that time comes. But as of right now, this is and it's a move that what I've been wanting to see signals belief in Will Levis, right? You believe he's a franchise right. quarterback. Take advantage of that rookie deal. I know you're very early on in the rebuilding stage and reshaping this roster after all the John Robinson misfires, but show some faith in your rookie quarterback. Take advantage of it. Remember, you're not going to have that fifth year option on Will Levis because he was a second round pick. And nowadays, all these quarterback deals, they get their extension before they reach that, but usually they play on that fifth year option for the cap hit, right? So that's a benefit you're not going to have. You've got to take advantage of it while you can. This is that taking advantage of it, right? It's signing a guy like Calvin Ridley. He probably doesn't play all 4 years of the deal, right? If we're being honest, $50 million guaranteed based on the average salary, that sounds like 2 years and then we'll see, right? If you have to pay him $25 million per year, if you break it down, and then we'll see. So, but this is definitely an exciting move. You steal him from a division rival on top of it. So big move. Again, Brian Callahan, from the day he arrived, he's told you how much he loves wide receivers, and this certainly reiterates that.
Yeah, and he also talked about having receivers that can do different things. And I think when you look at where DeAndre Hopkins is in his career, and I know they're not that far apart in age, but I think Calvin Ridley, when you talk about being an elite separator, the reception perception score, great work done there by Matt Harmon on a very consistent basis.
Always, yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, not a great separator, great contested catch guy, great possession receiver. At this point in his career, he will move the chains, but Calvin Ridley's going to get open, and he can get open deep too. He's going to be a guy that Will Levis can use that big strong arm, wants to throw the ball down the field. That is what Calvin Ridley brings you, a guy who can really beat man coverage pretty damn well. And then DeAndre Hopkins is going to eat against zone. So two guys who I think complement each other very well. Who's going to be the number one on the Titans versus the number two? Like, I don't think it matters. They're both going to be very, very good and very reliable targets. So this is great news. I think other implications are obvious. Takes them out of the running for trading for T. Higgins this year. Takes them out of the running for signing Marquise Hollywood Brown. And, you know, Mike Williams was released by the Chargers today. I don't think they're not going to be in on any of these guys because they don't need them now. They got a lot of money invested in this position. And I think it's going to be really exciting for the offense here. Offense adding some crucial pieces between him, Lloyd Cushenberry, and Tony Pollard. This has the makings of turning into an exciting offense. If you can add Joe Alt with the seventh pick and really solidify that offensive line, then I don't know. You still have questions at right tackle, but you still have questions at right guard. But I think you can make it work with the guys you have, especially if you do go out and sign a Mekhi Becton or another guy. And all this is kind of crazy because this Calvin Ridley signing happened. The Titans made a bunch of moves in the last couple hours here. And Justin and I taped a podcast going through all the latest Titans free agency rumors. We also did our reaction to the signing of Sadiq Charles, the offensive lineman who was with the Commanders previously. So that podcast is up now in the feed. We recorded it this morning, had some technical difficulties. It took a lot longer to get it out than I like to admit, and I'm sorry for that. But that is on the feed now. What's crazy to me, Titans, in addition to Calvin Ridley, signed quarterback Mason Rudolph to be Will Levis's backup. They re-signed Julius Chestnut. They tendered Jack Gibbons, and they re-signed Nick Folk. So those four signings in addition to Calvin Ridley. Justin and I this morning went through a whole list of guys the Titans have been connected to in terms of rumors around the league. None of the five guys that they just signed were involved in these rumors and connections or anything. So I was afraid we were going to get that pod out too late and it wouldn't be relevant anymore, but it is still very relevant. The five guys that the Titans have been connected to, plus two other guys, seven total guys, although two of them are kind of questionable reports at this point. But go listen to that pod because I don't think Rand Carthon is done. And yes, we will be reacting to Mason Rudolph, Nick Folk, Julius Chestnut, Jack Gibbons. That's going to come. We'll probably do that tomorrow morning. We'll see if any other, you know, smaller level signings happen between now and then that we can lump in to react to with those. But we wanted to get the Calvin Ridley reaction up right away. poor audio quality or not. So thank you, Justin, for taking time away. Thank your girlfriend for allowing you to sit down and do this podcast with us right now.
Yeah, they're probably talking about me at dinner right now. They're waiting for me to come back. The whole family is. So that's the dedication that we've had this week. I stepped away for the first time really this week from the office to get away and see some family. And of course, Titan sign Calvin Ridley. I'm pulling into the driveway. Literally, I check my phone and I see $92 million Calvin Ridley. I went, holy crap. So I'm glad we able to found a way to knock this out. Sorry to our listeners if the audio quality is not what you're used to it being. Of course, I don't have a spare microphone here at my mother-in-law's house, but we wanted to get it up. We wouldn't have got this up for another 7, 8, 9 hours if we waited. So we're glad to get it to you right now. And it's a game changer. It's a game changer for the Titans offense. The biggest deal, I would say, of Rand Carthon's tenure here. I mean, you could put DeAndre Hopkins up there with him, but there's so much more money in this deal than the DeAndre Hopkins deal. So certainly the biggest deal of the Rand Carthon era, obviously the biggest deal of the Brian Callahan era. They just told you how they want to play football. I mean, they've been telling you all offseason, and now they're showing you that they mean business. So it's exciting. I mean, the Titans have not had two receivers like DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley since the 2020 season, like, you know, A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. So really, and that season went so well offensively. I'd love to see them replicate that. So exciting to see where they go from here. They're still connected to so many free agents. As you said, we just put up the episode addressing all those rumors, the Legarius Sneed, Justin Simmons, Jerome Baker, Chase Young, all that good stuff. Once we get the details of this, the intricate details of this contract, we'll see how much money they have to go out and get those guys. I imagine they still have a decent amount to play with and can add some legitimate contributors. And we'll be back when they do. And the Mason Rudolph episode's coming next sometime early tomorrow morning.
Which is a signing I like, by the way. A little tease there for that. But yes, we'll get to that tomorrow morning. So thank you all for tuning in. Especially thank you to those watching on YouTube. Please subscribe to the channel. Keep helping us grow. Turn on the notifications so you get an alert when we drop a new video, because who knows when the Titans are going to make their next move and we're going to have to hop on and record yet again. A reminder, this episode has been brought to you by Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville, Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. Stop by there to stock up on all your beverages and check out the huge walk-in beer fridge. Super cool there. That you're definitely going to want to see that. So if you're in that area, head on over. Tell them the Music City Audible sent you. All right, like Justin said, we'll be back tomorrow morning with a Mason Rudolph reaction, and anything else that happens may get lumped into that too. So until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.